The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Otto. Nice to see you again.
Likewise.
And before we get to our first guest, I just want to bring everybody's attention to the importance of what Project Independence is. Project Independence is the Town of North Hempstead's initiative to help seniors age in place, to help you stay in your home as long as you decide. And that's brought about through transportation, through which brings people for shopping, for medical visits, for social work services, for slight repairs in the home, for many, many things. Project Independence and the Department of Services for the Aging brings to everybody in the town important information to help you stay healthy and enjoy your senior years. Today, we have Shari Batone with us, and Shari is the senior mobility manager whose function and job, and she does it so tremendous, is to help you navigate both walking and driving through the town of North Hempstead. Where you want to go, Shari's going to get you there. Good morning, Shari.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Just start off with telling everybody exactly what you do with the town, which really, I hear your name in so many different meetings I go to, like call Shari for this, call Shari for that. Why should people be calling 3-1 and getting you?
Okay. So my role is everything involved with a senior's mobility. So first and foremost, I'm the day-to-day contact for all issues revolving around the senior transportation program, which, as you mentioned, takes seniors who are at least 60 and live in the town to their medical, dental, optical type appointments 7 days a week. It's deeply discounted. And we also take our seniors for food shopping twice a week, and the days of the week depend what town you're in. And we go to local markets, and it's, you know, great for seniors to be able to get their nutritional needs met at no cost. That is absolutely free. So, of course, tipping is appreciated with both of our types of service. And, yeah, so I'm just part of a team that helps seniors to get these basic needs met and still be able to live at home because, as you know, taxi transportation is very expensive and other types of transportation that take people from their house to where they need to go is very limited in the suburbs. So people have found this is actually a key program that helps one to stay in their home and as long as they want. So I'm very proud to be a part of this.
True. I just wanted the food shopping is free.
Food shopping is free.
Okay,
free,
I thought that
free.
Was 50%. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
So you had asked why would somebody call 311? Well, they could call 311 for anything in the town of North Hempstead that they would like to know, or they would like a referral, or they'd like information how to find out about anything in the town or beyond, and they would be directed to the right person. So as it relates to Project Independence, somebody might call and say, I heard there's some services available. And then someone would call them back and find out what specifically their needs are.
Okay.
In my case, I answer calls for everything related to the taxi transportation program, requests for speaking. I go out and speak about anything related to mobility, staying safe driving as it relates to seniors, pedestrian safety, traveling safe in ice and snow. And I also handle the calls where somebody says, I am not able to drive anymore and I can't get in a taxi. I'm recovering from surgery or whatever, and I need accessible transportation. Or they might be confined to a wheelchair, or their family member might be.
Okay.
So those are the types of things I help people
actually
with.
I know very specifically that Shari helped out in Great Neck, because I'm involved in the senior center in Great Neck with the lights crossing.
Oh, right. Yes. So
I
do attend the advisory committee meetings, which are held around the town. And in Great Neck, there were so many issues that revolved around crossings. Crosswalk paint had rubbed off, crosswalk signals not working properly, or people walking at night and not being seen. There's areas up in Great Neck where it's very dark and there's no sidewalks, and people wearing dark colors and walking when it's dark. So we formed what we call the Subcommittee on Pedestrian Safety, where one by one, as the issues were raised, we addressed them. We found the right municipality to take care of the issue that was raised. So there was all kinds of issues. Crosswalk paint that was completely gone on Middle Neck Road in front of Wallbaum's. And, you know, the next day they started painting. It was really incredible. So the response that we are getting from local municipalities has been great. We've had someone report that there weren't benches to sit on Northern Boulevard. And we were able to get to the right people over at Nice Bus to get benches installed. So, and we also have requests in for bus stop shelters. So where it is okay to do that,
right,
you know, where it's permissible, they can do. And so I've found that, you know, everybody's willing to do it. It's just we become the conduit of information that we receive right. from advisories. And then we go out and find out who can actually make
point
that happen.
Point is to call 311.
Exactly.
That's very interesting because I think that a lot of different communities have different kinds of problems. Like there's a lot more walking in Great Neck than there might be in another community mm-hmm. because it just isn't structured that way. And one of the things I thought about when you said that is in New Hyde Park, there's probably, I have no idea how many thousands of stop signs, but stop signs are a major problem in my opinion because people don't always stop at the stop sign. So if you're walking or driving, it's critical that you slow up even though there is a stop sign because you're liable to get plowed over. And
right.
I never thought about that until you just started talking about pedestrians.
Right. One of the key points we try to remind seniors and everyone, quite honestly, is that you need to take matters into your own hands. You need to make sure that it's safe to cross. Make sure that a driver is actually stopping for you. Do not depend on that stop sign. Do not depend on a crosswalk signal in your favor or a green light. You actually need to make sure that you're getting eye contact, that they're actually rocked to a stop, and that they've acknowledged that you're going to pass first before you step out. And even though you have the right of way with even 1 foot in the road, you actually need to take it, control yourself
right.
to make sure that you're going to cross safely.
Very interesting with that. You are, you were just saying, you have to be in control because bringing up another issue, black ice.
Yes.
The guy might want to stop at that stop sign.
True.
Have full intention. It's not happening.
Right. Yeah, there's many hazards that we need to be aware of now that the temperature is low and we're mm-hmm. going to have bad weather this weekend. But absolutely, as a driver, you need to increase double your stopping distance. So if you are accustomed to starting to brake at a certain distance before
okay.
a light, a stop sign, or a car in front of you that seems to be slowing down, you need to keep a greater distance between you and the car in front of you, and you need to stop sooner than you normally would for an upcoming stop sign or a signal, because on ice, you might take twice the distance to stop because of the sliding.
You kind of have to drive with a defensive attitude, even though you may get a little bit miffed about the fact that somebody else is coming along rather aggressively. And you just have to kind of give in to the fact that that's the way it is. There are people who sort of get it off their chest when they're driving. They become more aggressive
right.
for some reason.
Right.
You know, you go down a street and they won't give in to the fact that maybe they should pull over so you can go through that
right.
kind of business. You
right.
know, they got this aggressive thing, and it happens all over the place. But the big point is to swallow your own ego when it comes to that
right.
and let them be stupid about it and go off on right. a merry old way.
Right. Unfortunately, people bring their emotions in the car when
they're
driving in regular weather. We all hope that when it comes to winter weather driving that you have to be in the right state of mind. You know, you have to leave more time. You have to be prepared with everything you need in the car, and you have to be mentally prepared for driving for the in winter. And I think I know, I shift gears. Since winter, I'm like, okay, so I might be late for work, but at least I'll arrive in one piece. And then I look around, everybody seems to be in a similar state of mind. I think just the white snow and the slush and, you know, can slow people down. Some people you can't help, they're going to be in a rush and they're not going to have the proper state of mind. Steer clear of aggressive drivers. It doesn't serve anyone well to pull up and start giving them, you know.
Right.
just avoid it.
Any aggressive drivers listening to this,
yes.
It wouldn't be a bad thing to simmer it down a little bit.
Exactly. And, you know, there's nothing more irritating than somebody in the car next to you who's texting or looking down and clearly not paying attention to what they should. You cannot communicate with other people in other cars. You just need to steer clear of what seems to be a hazardous situation or a driver and focus on your own situation.
That is probably one of the biggest issues today, is people, when they're in a car, are not mindful of being in the car.
And they're texting them,
and you see some of them, they're trying to make a turn, and this, you look, I'm doing that. They have the phone up to the area, and you just got to watch out for them.
You know, Nassau County treats distracted driving, texting and driving, or even holding a phone in your hand as high as drunk driving. It is five points on your license for holding a phone or texting, driving, talking, holding a phone. So just put it down, put it away, put it on some people have like a little holder. Just don't touch it. Don't be caught touching it. Don't be caught looking at it. And you better just don't do it.
I think
your family would understand if you didn't answer the phone until you were pulled over.
I have a theory about this. First of all, it's difficult to enforce, in my opinion. And I think if they jacked the fines up to about $2,000 and a few people got caught, the word would spread that you better not get caught holding your phone in your hand because you're going to get fined $2,000 and you may even go to jail. You know, if you make it serious enough, and then people will take it a little more to heart, and they should anyhow, because you're liable to kill somebody otherwise.
Oh, something like that, I agree with. I mean, I can do it.
Right.
Because I'm one of those people in the car, I start talking to myself, first of all. Yeah. Then I'm on the phone. Then the light turns green. I'm just sitting there. The light turns red, and I've gone through them. It's like, oh, my wife is like, stop it.
Right.
I don't even do it anymore. It's not worth it.
No, it isn't. And, I just happened to have some notes. It's from 2 years ago, but the cell phone ticket was $218 back then. It may have gone up. And they are ticketing. They are enforcing. They actually, because I've gone to the traffic safety board meetings, they actually have teams that are looking for this.
Good.
Okay.
So just as
glad
they would have, you know, a cop looking for a drunk driver, they're also looking for distracted driving, which is a whole category. I saw on TV this morning that somebody was reading a book while driving. Okay. That's distracted driving.
Right.
It speaks to your state of mind. If you're not focused on the road and they see you swerving or not doing what you should, you're going to get pulled over. Distracted driving could be eating or looking down or reading. You just can't be reading while driving.
This is a true story.
Go ahead. You have,
years ago, I was 18, 19. We were coming from someplace with a friend of mine. He was driving. He made a very sloppy turn. The cop pulled him over. But he had a thick shake. We had all thick shakes in the car. Now, he just gave him a lecture saying, how can you be driving with one hand and the other hand? Never thought about it until X number of years later when it became an issue that, you know, it's a distracted driving even then. But it wasn't a big deal until the phones really brought it to everybody's attention. You can't multitask in a car.
Right, because it also brings your mind someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a conversation, even hands-free, that means your focus and your mind is somewhere else, and you're not looking out for that pedestrian that could be starting to cross or that child who might be darting between cars.
You know, there was certain they're talking about the new cars that are going to be coming out, and they're going to have in the windshield, there'll be little screens and telling you where to go and what to do and so on, and all kinds of other screens with different displays. This is kind of counter. To me, that's going to be a distraction. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far that's going to go, but I just read that not long ago, that this is in the plans, that there will be embedded in windshields little screens that will do certain things. I have no idea what, but I think they could distract you, but that's off the track a little bit. Shari can't fix that.
No. Well, actually, the one thing, like on these cars, my kids have it on theirs. I don't have it on mine, that backup thing.
Yes.
The camera.
Tremendous.
It is tremendous. I don't have it on mine, but I drive their car enough because I take their kids to school. And it's amazing when I back up in mine how you miss it, because you back up in theirs, you see everything, and it starts beeping, and there's three different colors.
Right. I believe new cars going forward will have to have that camera. The rear camera is becoming standard. And also what's quite helpful is that embedded in your mirror, it lights up to tell you there's a car in your blind spot. Or you might be able to see a car, but it will blink. And that, to me, is not a distraction. It's an alert.
Right.
So that's very helpful.
Just now, I think. You can get that as a feature in a car.
Yes.
But it probably will be mandatory somewhere down the road.
Yeah, as these things prove themselves and prove successful, then they're going to be mandatory. What we're going to do right now is take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.